Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Toyo Open Country AT3. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Hour 2, Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Best and worst of the weekend. If you have something on your mind that you liked or didn't like, you can tweet, email. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Listen on our 362 radio affiliates, and you can watch on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Spent a lot of time talking about The Last Dance last hour. We'll talk to the celebrated director, Jason Hare. He'll join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Did Karl Malone decline to be interviewed for this? I know John Stockton did not want to be part of it. He said, I don't want to be part of a puff piece. He's one of the last interviews, though, that they got into the documentary. Also, Reggie Miller will join us coming up in a little more than an hour from now. I did send a text to Reggie last night, right before the documentary started. I said, good luck. And then that's when he said, tough crowd. And I said, it's a crowd of one. It's Michael Jordan. But I thought Reggie did well. I think how he was portrayed, I think Reg came off pretty well. What's the poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
Best team that Michael Jordan's Bulls beat in the playoffs. And the Pacers are leading, but the Jazz are really close. Behind that, you got the Blazers, the Suns, and Sonics, all about the same.
Okay. We've talked about a variety of things here. We talked about Jordan. There was a part of me that I felt sorry for him because while he has this ability to be great, pick other people up to a different level, I do think that he is trapped by this. This is who he is every single day. We can look and admire from afar, but he's this way. This is who he is. And I think that's why he started to tear up in a previous episode talking about how he treated his teammates. Because I think there's part of you that says, I don't want to be this way. I have to be this way. And there was part of me that felt sorry for him. Not that he needs my sorrow, but I looked at it and said, you can be trapped by this. And I know people who are like this, not to that degree, but they can't change. They want to, they can't. And Michael is successful, you know, beyond belief. But there was part of me that he couldn't do it any other way. We also talked about the infamous flu game that's now the infamous food poisoning game. We did have a caller from Utah who claimed to know the person who made the pizza at Pizza Hut. I need a second source here, but he said that he delivered the pizza because he knew it was going to Michael Jordan and it wasn't Five Guys. Okay. Do I think that he had food poisoning? No, I don't. Do I think he had the flu? No. Now, I don't know what he had, but I saw him when he walked in that night and he was gray. So he was sick. I don't, if you're going to say that Marriott, where the Bulls are with security and it's, you know, NBA finals, and you're going to let Five Guys go to Michael Jordan's room. It used to be you just went down to the lobby, and if I got a couple of guys, I send my trainer down and say, hey, I got Pizza Hut delivering. Go down there, or I have security. You're going to let five guys go to your hotel room? Come on. And don't they have room service there at the Marriott?
We're checking.
Okay. We're all over this. I'm thinking about sending Paulie to Salt Lake, the I-team.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's just the quarantine. I can't send you.
I'd do a Traeger pop by and then cruise around Park City and look for Pizza Huts.
Yeah, but Michael and the five guys and the food poisoning now never came out before. And Mike's the only one who had the pizza. What kind of guy Bogarts an entire pizza with your boys in there with you?
There it is in a nutshell.
Hey, come on. It's my pizza. How about you get a second pizza then? And don't you have somebody who tests your pizza for you? Jerry Jones has somebody who cleans his glasses. You're Mike Jordan. You got to have somebody, hey, you eat it first. And how do you make a pizza bad? If you say I'm setting out to not hurt Michael, not try to kill him, I just want him a little wounded so we have a chance going into game five. I don't know. All these mysteries, and they continue. It's part of the mythology of Michael Jordan. Larger than life, these stories where you hear it and you don't believe it. Oh, this is why he played baseball. You hear it, you don't believe it. The flu game, now the food poisoning game. You hear it, but you don't believe it. Trying to separate fact from fiction here is part of the fascination with Michael Jordan. But what you saw, and hopefully if you didn't get to see it, like for me it was just a reminder, just a nudge to say, just in case you forgot how exciting he was, how dominating, how demanding he was, and what his world looked like. It was not so subtle reminder of that last night. And if you are from a younger generation and just learning about Jordan, now seeing it instead of, you know, clips on YouTube, I think you got a better sense of exactly who this guy was and why he was such a force. Because the NBA was Bird and Magic. And it felt like it was going to be Bird and Magic for quite some time. And that's when Michael lights up the Celtics. Now, they don't have a great team, but he puts up 63 on the Celtics and a Hall of Fame lineup in the Garden. And that's where Larry Bird said, that's God disguised as Michael Jordan. This is Bird, as competitive as anybody you'll ever find. Magic knew that with the Dream Team when Mike came in and realized there was a new sheriff in town. These are the two best players in the game. And these guys don't give up that title. They don't begrudgingly, they hand off the baton. Mike just took it. He didn't ask for it, took it. But to watch him be competitive, even in sprints, win sprints, and you would think the great players would be like, I don't need to win every sprint. Michael had to win sprints. He just could not turn it off. And I don't know what he's like now, because you don't have this outlet. He has golf. And he has poker or whatever kind of gambling. You know, his basketball team, but he can't play. He can't. You're so close, but you can't affect the outcome. And I was also curious. I feel bad for Barkley because, you know, Charles was really good friends with Michael. And, you know, he had some critical comments about Michael as an owner. And, you know, Michael has shut him out. That's it. That relationship is over. And I was wondering, you know, do free agents want to play for a team that's owned by Michael Jordan? You would think they would. They've been an average team. They signed Gordon Hayward to an offer, but the Jazz matched that. That's the big name free agent in 10 years as majority owner. So he hasn't attracted anybody there, and they're an average team. Now, he might be successful making money as an owner, but his teams aren't good. They're not reflective of Jordan, the player. Yeah, Paul.
I wondered this morning if Michael Jordan and his people are sitting there today thinking to themselves, mission accomplished. Whatever his plan was for this documentary, the reminder, the backstory, whatever it may be, is it full thumbs up of mission accomplished? Or is there anything over the past 6 weeks where Michael Jordan and his people are like, oh boy, that's not what we wanted?
No, I think it is mission accomplished because I thought it was a brilliant marketing plan by them. And that plan was, hey, LeBron just won his title, his third title, and people are starting to say he's getting up there in the conversation with Michael. And for Michael on that day, and it wasn't a coincidence, where he agreed to do this documentary, I thought it was mission accomplished. I thought he did a wonderful job in saying, you know what? Let's just put it out there. In case there was any doubt, we're going to remove all of that doubt. Now, I'll deal with some of the slings and arrows here. Hey, people are going to hear the whole story about me playing baseball, my father being murdered, the flu game that now became the food poisoning game, how I treated my teammates, but I wanted to win. Hey, I'm going to give some grief to some people that I still don't like the Pistons and Isaiah Thomas. I'm going to come out pretty well here, and I think he did. I mean, I don't know if anybody changed their opinion in a negative way after watching Michael Jordan in this documentary. I don't think so. This is how dominating Bird, Magic, and Michael Jordan were in a 9-year period, 84 to 92. Those were the only three guys to win the MVP. They won three apiece in those 9 years. Those three. And Michael was separating from Bird and Magic. And you could see it. What I forgot about were the explosive plays by Michael. Like, there was a violence to the way he played. There was grace, and if you slow it down and he's jumping through midair, it looks like ballet. But Michael played with the machete. Like, he was attacking you. Everything was attack, attack, attack. And Kobe was that way, too. You know, Kobe had that just, I'm coming at you. Not around you, I'm coming at you. And that was a reminder for me. I'd forgotten all about that with Jordan and just the number of explosive plays. But it was fun. We'll talk to Jason Hare, the director. He'll join us coming up. Tom in Florida joins us. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. So I'm listening to you guys talk about the, you know, kind of speculate on what this whole flu game was with MJ. And so I've been sitting on this story for about 10 years or so. I have a very credible source close to Jordan that I was very fortunate to actually meet and be friends with. And he told me and my friends like 10 years ago, that MJ was actually in Vegas the night before. That it wasn't the flu, it wasn't food poisoning, that he went to Vegas the night before, things got a little sideways, and that's the story. I don't know any details. I don't have any way to prove it, but it's kind of fun speculation. And my friends and I couldn't believe when he told us the story. Because we all thought
celebrity
that,
you know, journalist Flo Anthony, who claims to have spoken to a source with knowledge from someone close to Wood, says Tiger is struggling.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm guessing anybody who's close to Jordan would never say anything about Michael Jordan, because if you do, then you're no longer close to Michael Jordan. Yes, McLevin.
I'm picturing like the plot of the movie The Hangover, except with Jordan and Zach Galifianakis. We have a problem here.
Yeah, has anybody seen Michael? Oh, he's up. He's on a mattress at the top of this hotel. Yes, Eaton.
Man, but if you're somebody who likes to gamble and you've got a private plane at your fingertips, it's only an hour 15 flight. Man.
Yeah, but you're not going to look like that from gambling.
No, right.
Sure. I mean, Michael did look like death. When he walked into the arena that night in Salt Lake City, and I just remember, because our offices at ESPN, as he walks by, he had to walk by to go to the locker room. And you could always hear the Chicago reporters, the crowd coming up. And I looked out, and Michael is about 10 feet away from me. And he was gray. We knew he was sick. He was gray. Like, he looked like he was on his deathbed. He was really, really sickly looking. I don't know how he got that way, but he was sick. There was something that was going on there. Yeah, Paul.
I bet if you asked Michael Jordan if he could have a do-over and have a good, clean pizza or have the flu game, he would stay with the flu game. He would like he's been dining out on that game, no pun intended, for years. I mean, on national TV and against the biggest stage.
But would you rather have the flu or food poisoning? Because then it sounds like somebody in Salt Lake made a pizza to try to hurt, injure. I'm guessing the media had to go, what? Well, they're just finding this out, though, right? Now, I don't know if this is a rumor there, but I'm wondering that if I'm working in local media and newspaper there in Salt Lake City, I'm asking a whole lot of questions here. I'd just be like, okay, wait a minute, So this is a Pizza Hut that's closed down, and we had a guy who knows the guy who made the pizza, and that Five Guys, security is not letting Five Guys go to your hotel room. They're not. None. Deliveries are usually made in the lobby. Why would Michael allow that, and why would Michael's handlers, security people, allow people to come up, even one person to come up? You go down into the lobby to get that. See, I don't, that doesn't jive. Yes, he.
But the, unfortunately, our caller story is already debunked, right?
Which one?
The guy who said he knew the delivery person.
Yeah.
Right. So his story is out now, because if he's like the Pizza Hut that made the pizza was two blocks from the Delta Center and his hotel was 40 minutes away in Park City.
Well, if it was Park City, he's saying he was at the Marriott, that's where the team stayed. Now, once again, we're never going to get the answer to it.
I thought we were today, actually.
Well,
I thought we were going to get to the bottom of it.
Well, Paulie's working on that right now. We got our I team working on this here. Was Jordan in Park City? Was Jordan in the Marriott in Salt Lake City? Did he order pizza? Did Five Guys go up there? The guy even said, yeah, he ordered a large pepperoni pizza, thin crust. Yes, Paulie.
I actually sent a note to AM700, our radio station out there, and to the Salt Lake Trib to see if they... Who's on this story for you guys?
I would be on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would try to cash in on this because people are going to be curious about this. Five Guys. Yeah, Fritzy.
Jordan loves these stories. We saw that throughout the documentary. He creates situations and things that may or may not exist. Like he didn't have enough fire. He's got, they're trying to injure me or kill me, the Jazz fans and people all over. I'll show them. It wasn't enough that he wanted to win another title, but they're actually trying to make me sick so I can't even play.
I think Michael invented the flu is what he did.
Right.
Yeah. It just, let me see. I'm not feeling well. Flu. How about flu? Because flu sounds a little... I don't know. Food poisoning sounds probably better because it feels like somebody went out of their way to do something to me. And even then, they couldn't stop Michael Jordan. Yeah, they poisoned my food. Not trying to kill me. Just trying to slow me down. Deep dive. Deep dish. Next. A couple of phone calls here. Mike in Indiana. Mike, how are you?
Hi. Hey, I'm great, Dan. You guys are doing a great job. I'm 5'6", 165. Thank you very much. I'm a middle school assistant principal, so I've been delivering schoolwork to kids that don't have internet. And one of the things you brought up was that, is this documentary made to influence the younger generations? Well, here's a quick story. I go and deliver a packet of paper to a kid who's on the basketball team. He's 12 years old. And I kind of knock on the door, step back to socially distance, and he kind of walks out on the front stoop, and I go, how's everything going? I go, you missing school? He's like, oh, man, I'm really missing my tribal basketball team. And I was like, oh, I bet. I go, man, those guys are – you guys are pretty good. He goes, yeah, but the big problem is that we got, like two Ron Harpers and a Scottie Pippen, but we don't have any Dennis Rodman, man. And right then I was like, oh, my God, he's spot on. This is exactly what it's made for. But I just thought I'd share that quick story with you guys. Keep doing the great job. I really
appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, you don't want a Dennis Rodman. And that's why I just thought the breakup was inevitable. I just don't think they could have held that together. And I don't think that even if you had some of the remaining parts, you would have been better than San Antonio that year. And San Antonio beat the Knicks in the NBA Finals. I don't know who stays with them. Scotty has to go someplace to get paid. Dennis Rodman, for the most part, was done. He went to the Lakers. He played 20 more games in his career. He was done. Ron Harper, you had Kukoc, who was an emerging star. And could you keep Phil there? How much was Phil going to cost you? Maybe you keep them together, or at least part of it. I don't think you're able to keep Pippen. Because Scotty really wanted to get paid. Plus, he had, he was hurt that next season. No, we'll never know. McLovin brought this up, were you disappointed they couldn't stay together? I wanted to see Michael with those 2 years in baseball if he stayed together. and they stayed together and what they could have done. And I would love that matchup with the Houston Rockets. Look, the Bulls answered every question when it came. They never went to a seventh game in the NBA Finals, but Rockets would have been a whole lot of fun. That would have been a different kind of opponent for them. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to the director of The Last Dance, Jason Hare. Did Karl Malone decline to be interviewed? And what story does Jason feel like he still has some questions about? We'll get to more phone calls coming up. It's 20 after the hour. This is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FS.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Dan Patrick Show brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to the Dan Patrick Show app. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG. driving performance. He deserves a victory lap. He is the director of The Last Dance. Jason Hare joins us on the program. Good morning, Jason. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. How does it feel to exhale?
Kind of surreal, because this is the first day that I haven't literally had to worry about something to do with the making of the show in at least 2.5 years, actually well over that. So, it's a lot of mixed emotions. I was telling someone last night that it's kind of like how you feel when you graduate, like a high school or a college graduation. You know, for years you say, I can't wait to get out of this place. I can't wait. And then when that moment happens and you look around, you see you're not going to see these people again. You're not going to be in a phase of your life like that again. I get sentimental in those times. This was a significant chapter of my life. I'm 43 and I spent over 4 years on this thing, or almost 4 years in this. That's about 10% of my life that I spent on this story. So it's definitely bittersweet.
When's the last time you spoke to Jordan?
When we interviewed him in December.
Oh, so you haven't spoken to him at all after this came out?
No, I don't have a relationship with him like that. No, I've spoken to him, you know, a handful of times my entire life, and half of those are when we sat down for cameras.
If I said you get one more question to Jordan, what would it be?
That's a tough one. We laughed at the end of the final episode, or the final interview. We laughed because I said, anything you want to add? And he said, I think we pretty much covered everything. Yeah. And we both laughed a little bit. I'd have to think about that. You put me on the spot.
What's the story that you don't think you got the full answer to?
Well, anything to do with Krause, of course, is, you know, I would love to know if he regretted that. That would be one of my main questions, is do you regret saying to Phil Jackson, you can go 82-0 and you're not coming back to coach this team? Because that was what made everything untenable, I believe. If he doesn't say that, if he doesn't draw a line in the sand like that, then Jerry Reinsdorf offers him another year and he can still maybe make that happen. And if Phil makes it happen, then the rest of the team's going to make it happen. And you can argue about what would have happened in that season to come. But that's one that's always going to be kind of a blind spot for us, because we just don't have Jerry Krause's opinion on this.
Did Karl Malone decline to be interviewed?
Yes.
Did he say why?
No. He declined through another party. We asked him multiple times.
Did you try to reach out through Stockton to Malone, or?
Yeah,
I figured.
Yeah, there were, believe me, we exhausted just about every avenue. We started in January of 2018 on that one, because we knew that he was going to be a tough sell. And I tried right up until, I think I told you earlier this month that we interviewed John Stockton on March 10th. We were really up until the last possible day to do these interviews. So we tried and tried with Carl. We tried to get them to sit down together. Thought that might be a better option. They'd feel more comfortable with that, but there was just no convincing him.
Anybody of note aside from Malone who said no?
Brian Russell.
Ooh.
That, you know what? That was just a no response. That was we never got anything back from him. And I think, you know, out of respect to Brian, I think he knew what questions we were going to ask. So maybe he didn't want to go there, but there's really nobody else of note that said that declined.
You okay with the pizza story? Now it's food poisoning, not the flu here, Jace?
Absolutely. And I can shed a little bit of light on that as well.
Okay.
So a lot of people I saw online last night, and people were texting me asking, like, what kind of guy eats an entire pizza in a room full of grown men? Who doesn't grab a slice? What happened was that they're on the outskirts of Salt Lake. They're not staying in Salt Lake proper. They're kind of in the suburbs or on the edge of town. And there are limited food options out there. And at the time that George and Gus and Tim Grover, actually Gus wasn't there, but Tim Grover and George and all the security guards ordered dinner, room service was working then. And Michael wasn't hungry, or he wasn't there, I think. So he came back and he was pissed off because they ate without him. So it gets to be about 10, 11 o'clock, and he's hungry. This is the story that he told us.
Okay.
So they find a place that delivers pizza, and he says, nobody touched this pizza. This is my pizza. You guys ate without me. So he spat on the pizza. so that nobody else could eat it. And that's how we know that nobody else. Now, did he finish the pizza himself? I don't know. But he did say that he spit on the pizza so that nobody else could eat it. And I think he had been known for doing this. I heard a story one time about how this is public, that he was on a commercial shoot and someone gave him homemade brownies and his security guards were in the trailer. And he said, no one touched these brownies. These are mine. And he spat on them and he went and did the shoot. So, but he did tell us that we didn't have time to put it into the story. But a lot of people said, well, why would he eat an entire pizza? That's why.
I was told that he stayed in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? You said they're on the outskirts of Salt Lake. I was told that Michael would stay in Park City and not in Salt Lake City.
By himself?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I don't know if he was by himself. I don't think he was staying with the team.
Well, he was with the team, though, in 98. He comes back to the hotel and he's with the team. So I know he stayed with the team in Utah in 98. I'm not sure about 97, but I know we have cameras there. I think he got the same suite every time he went to Utah. He would stay in the suite that had that piano.
Well, that's why I didn't know if he was – you said he was on the outskirts, and then somebody said, no, they stayed at the Marriott in downtown Salt Lake, which is not very far from the arena, but – these are just details here. I'm trying to piece it all together because I want to find out about this pizza thing. And would security allow five guys, Jason, to deliver a pizza? And the answer is no.
Doubtful, but I don't know. I don't know who was working the door that night. I'm sure no one called. And I don't think Michael called and said, hi, this is living legend Michael Jordan. Could you deliver a large pepperoni to my room? I think it was the pizza's going up to room 522. And there's a conceivable world in which the guy working the front desk says to the dudes, hey, that's Jordan's room that you're going to deliver a pizza to. I can't believe that there were five guys working at a pizza joint on the outskirts of Salt Lake City at one point. There might be five pizzeria employees in that entire time zone at that point. So
you worked so hard for 4 years, and this is what I want to ask you about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I expected it.
That's great. If there's no baseball strike, what happens to Michael Jordan?
I think he becomes a major leaguer. I think he makes the White Sox that following year. And I think if he enjoys playing baseball, which I imagine he would have, if he doesn't get an itch too much to come back to basketball, that we're not having this conversation, because I think that he could have finished his career as a baseball player. That's my opinion. I've been down this road in the last 5 weeks or so that I say that now all of a sudden it's a headline that Michael Jordan would have played. That's my opinion, that I think that he was passionate enough about baseball and loved it so much and loved that reset that he got when he went to Birmingham. And I do firmly believe for myriad reasons that he would have made the major leagues, including the fact that none other than Terry Francona says he needed 1,000 more bats to get up there.
Did he address this, the baseball strike, and what that meant to his baseball career and his basketball career?
I honestly forget. I could look it up right now, but I do know that the baseball strike left a sour taste in his mouth. There's no way he was going to cross that picket line. He was not going to be a scab. He knew that. And I don't think he had any intentions of going back to basketball that year. He was firmly committed because he had hit, I think, 268 in the fall league. He hit 202 for Birmingham. Then he went to the fall league and hit 268 or 264. He was improving and he was really excited for that season. And then what happened. So he was left really with no choice but to leave baseball and either retire from sports altogether or come back to the Bulls.
I mentioned this last hour and it caught some people off guard. I said there was part of me that felt sorry for Michael Jordan. And that is, this is who he is every day. We admire it from afar. He lives in this world where everything is competition. Back then, everything. I don't know how much he enjoyed it as much as it was a relief when he won. The expectations were so high. I don't know if he could treat his teammates any differently. And I think that's when he said, the time he sat down with you and he started to tear up, let's break. He didn't want to think. That's just not who he is. He doesn't allow himself to think that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? That I felt sorry for him in some regards, because the people around him back then, Ahmad Rashad and Quinn Buckner, and then the security people that he pays to be around him. I just think he lived in this world that we could never understand, relate to. And you have the great scene where he's on the couch with the cigar and he goes, here, this is my life here.
Yeah.
It was trapped by success.
That's a question of Uber fame, right? I mean, that's separate from the torture of being that competitively driven that you're kind of held hostage by that insatiable goal to win, win, win. And I think that there's probably people who have similar, I don't know if you call it a pathology, but similar mindsets that must be maddening to live within. It's the fame to me that if I had any sympathy for Michael, it would be because of that, that, you know, I don't know that he, I don't know that anyone knew what kind of a prison he was putting himself in when he became that famous at just that time. There's so many aspects to this story that couldn't have happened at any other time. Michael was born in 1963. He turns 21 and joins the NBA in 1984 at the same time that David Stern comes on as new commissioner, this visionary executive who may be the greatest commissioner ever, comes in at the same time as Michael. At the same time that satellite and cable TV start proliferating all over the country and all over the globe, at the same time that we're commodifying American pop culture all over the planet. At the same time that Black Americans, Black entertainers are being welcomed into homes. So all of a sudden it's Eddie Murphy and Bill Cosby and Prince and Michael Jackson. This is something that couldn't have happened 10 years earlier. So many of those things happened. In addition to that was the proliferation of electronic tabloid journalism. So you had Hard Copy and Inside Edition and these kind of shows. It was kind of like the prequel to TMZ culture. And Michael was caught up in that maelstrom. And if this had happened 10 years earlier, maybe he's Magic Johnson and he's not, you know, on gigantic murals halfway around the globe. He's just a national star. Every single thing happened for better or worse. Everything happened exactly at the right time for the story to become what it was.
What's the next project?
I don't know. I'm getting that question a lot. I don't know. And I was joking to you a while back that I need just a nap and a cold beer. And I still need that. last night was a late night just because the adrenaline. And I heard from a lot of people after the show, and I Zoomed with my family for about an hour afterwards. And you know, that was a way of bringing us together. Cause of course, you know, like all families, we miss the hell out of each other right now. So I haven't gotten a chance to really sit back and think about anything else. This is really the first day where I haven't been actively working or worrying about this series, because for better or worse, now it's done. There's nothing I can do about it. It's out there now. It's out in the world.
What about the 11th episode? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I would love to have Andy Thompson, who was, you know, part of the genius behind all of this, let him talk about. I just think the people behind the scenes in gathering all of this, knowing that it might not ever air and that you're getting this stuff. You know, and we didn't hear the stories of what they were shooting. They kept it quiet there. I don't know. Outtakes would be great. I would like to know, when Michael said break, what was Jordan like after he became emotional talking about the way he is to his teammates? When he got up, what happened next?
He composed himself really quickly. We had a couple of his people were there. I can tell you that Ahmad was there. Ahmad had come with him because they had golfed earlier in the day, and they're, of course, really close friends. And I remember Ahmad, like, Michael was composing himself, and Ahmad from the corner of the room said, "Kill or be killed." And he started laughing. I don't think he realized, because he couldn't see Michael. Michael was blocked by lights and cameras and things. So I don't think that he could realize that Michael was getting emotional. And I think that he thought that Michael just got tired or had to get up for some reason. So he was joking off camera. And so that immediately put Michael at ease. And, you know, he took a puff of the cigar and sat back down. We rolled pretty quickly. And the thing was, too, I know that you've seen this side of him, is that he snapped right back into it. And he started just busting the balls of one of our camera guys who was wearing shorts and had huge calves. He said, "You got big calves, man. You play football?" And it was a good friend of mine, John Roach. He said, "No, basketball." He goes, "Oh, it's this big, slow white kid, man." And everyone burst out laughing. You know, we're right back into that charismatic Michael. So he knows how to flip the switch.
So the headline here is Michael spit on the pizza. So the guys in the room.
I don't want that to be the headline. No.
Oh, you don't want it to be?
Well,
you got no control over
that. The fact is that. The fact is that. The headline, this is your newspaper, so you can do what you want with it.
Oh, God. Hey. It was fun. I hope you are able to sit back and enjoy it. Sometimes you get so close to it that it sort of takes over your life. But it was a story well told there. And you should really feel good about yourself there, Jason.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. Go have that beer and get that nap. Have the nap and then the beer. Or have the beer, then the nap, Jason.
We'll wait till about noon, and then I'll make a decision.
All right. That's Jason here. He's the director of The Last Dance. We'll take a break. More phone calls coming up here. Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/TheDanPatrick.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or I don't know. Take over a minute to down a 2-liter. Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Show. We will provide our best and worst of the weekend. Get to more phone calls coming up. John in New Orleans joins us now to tell you how it's done. Best and worst there, John.
Hey, boy. 6'5", Nugenix 220. My wife thinks I'm Frank Thomas. The best of the weekend was watching the pros carry their own bags and do their own course management. I like that. And I'd like to see it again in a major tournament, or maybe not a major, but a regular tournament. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I thought it would be fun. I mentioned that to Bubba Watson a couple of weeks ago. And Bubba didn't sound too keen on carrying his own bags. Sean in Indiana joins us. Hey, Sean.
Dan, good morning.
Morning.
I was going to settle this whole Michael Jordan, greatest of all time debate. And it kind of goes along with the watching the Last Dance. The fact that the scores back in the 90s, and I'm 37 years old, so I mean, I see it then and now. But when the Bulls would score 83 points and win the game, like 83-77, Michael Jordan was still scoring 45 points or 38 points. Now, if, say, LeBron was to score 38 points, the team had 120. So it just kind of shows you that it wouldn't matter what happened. Jordan was just going to dominate the game, a good defense or bad defense. He was always going out there scoring a ton of points.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Thanks for the phone call. I mentioned in the fourth quarter that game six of The Last Dance, you know, in the final 3 minutes and 40 seconds, nobody else took a shot for the Bulls. Jordan had 8 points, 2 steals, 1 rebound. The 1 steal off Malone and the 2 points, the jumper, win the NBA championship. The Utah Jazz in that series averaged 80 points per game. That's the second lowest by any team in the finals in the shot clock era. They were the second leading scoring team in the league that year. Utah averaged 101 points during the season that year. That's what's often overlooked with the Bulls. Michael's greatness, Scotty, Kukoc, Rodman, Phil. They played great defense. Great defense. Yeah, Paul.
That guy was talking about scoring by a player and a team. A couple years ago, James Harden, I think 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, James Harden averaged 36 points a game. The Rockets averaged 115 a game. So 36 for him, 115 for the team. The year Michael Jordan averaged 37 points a game, the Bulls averaged 104 points as a team, 11 fewer.
Yeah, I mentioned that I didn't know if Utah got over 80 points. They didn't get over 90 points in, I misspoke. They didn't get over 90 points in all 6 games in that series. And they averaged 101 during the regular season. So, Bulls played great defense. And a lot of times you can look at a team that is great offensively, they have to be really good defensively as well. And sometimes, like Golden State Warriors, they're a good defensive team. They were a really good defensive team, but we looked at them as this offensive juggernaut. Let's go around the room, best and worst of the weekend. Fritzio, I'll start with you.
My best of the weekend, I had seen both movies before, but enjoyed watching Jaws again late Friday night. And then there's a movie called Good Boys, which I recommend. Cute movie about coming-of-age kids learning about the birds and the bees. Very funny movie. Worst of the weekend, passing of CBS Sports broadcaster Phyllis George, part of the NFL Today team with Brent Musburger, Irv Cross, and Jimmy the Greek. So that was sad to hear that.
Yeah, and I think, and Brent Musburger said this so eloquently over the weekend, and Brent was part of the CBS Today, their football pregame show. And he said, you know, that Phyllis George mattered. That sometimes you look and, you know, that's kind of eye candy or dressing. Phyllis George mattered. And that she was a trailblazer for women getting into the business. And then she would sit down and do these interviews. You know, she had this famous exchange with Roger Staubach, you know, very Christian man. And Phyllis was talking to Roger Staubach about, you know, Joe Namath and Joe Namath going out with all these women. And Roger says, you know, I'm just like Joe Namath. I like sex, but I only have it with one woman. And it was just such a, you know, like you'd never get that response out of Roger Staubach. But she did. And it was funny. But, you know, yeah, Jimmy the Greek on there with Irv Cross, the former player. Brent was the host. And then you had Phyllis George, who did a lot of the features there. But Phyllis, former Miss America. And she was married to John Y. Brown, who used to own the Kentucky Colonels of the ABA basketball team. McLevin, best and worst of the weekend.
Best and worst, just want to remind you that Irv Cross was my dad's gym teacher at Abington High School after he retired from the Eagles. Mm. Little known fact. My best is that after Chris Sims' interview on Friday, NFL Twitter went nuts about the Russell Wilson trade once again. And everyone's like, why are we making a bigger deal out of this? And also people were showing all these clips of John Schneider, the Seahawks GM, salivating over Josh Allen in the pre-draft process. They went full Zapruder film on all this, which is great. Worst is it's the anniversary of Magic Johnson scoring 42 in 1980 to beat the Sixers in game 6 of the finals. Kareem had hurt his ankle, and I guess everyone thought the Sixers were going to win, and Magic ruined it all.
Yeah, that's one of those where you watched and you went, he's playing center. Well, he played wherever he wanted to play. Magic was unbelievable that night. Unbelievable. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
I don't know if these are best or worst. They just sort of are. But watching Bundesliga this weekend was great. I really enjoyed having live sports again. But it was weird that, you know, you would see on the sideline that everybody had a mask on and they stayed 6 feet apart. And then the guys would be on the pitch and they would be playing and slide tackling and, you know, playing a normal game of soccer. But then as soon as somebody scored a goal, nobody was allowed to celebrate with each other. They all had to stay back. They're like, look. Wait a minute, like you were just like wrestling with that guy a second ago, and now all of a sudden you have to like, no, let's just look at each other and smile. And that's an appropriate celebration. It's kind of bizarre. That was the one thing I found really odd outside of the crowds being gone. And then the other thing is I just started diving back into, and I've never actually seen them before, so it's really my first time through, all the Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise.
You like them?
I don't know if I like them necessarily, but they're really good entertainment for, you know, 10-year-old kid who thinks spies are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So he's really into it. But I will say this though, the stunts that Tom Cruise does in that, because they're famous for him doing his own, stunts, are pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I watch them, but I'm not, you know, enamored with them.
Yeah.
I finished Better Call Saul. I went through 4 seasons pretty quickly there. Look forward to season 5 on that. All right, final hour coming up. We'll get to Paulie's best and worst of the weekend. Reggie Miller will stop by, get his thoughts off The Last Dance. More phone calls as well this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.